What did one AI say to the other AI? Watch out. John Connor's coming. Hello there. Welcome to another electronic engineering-filled episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm Amelia Dalton, and yes, as you can probably imagine, we're talking about AI this week. From Facebook's shutdown of a new artificial intelligence-created language to Avnet's new AI-to-human digital platform. So, as a loyal fish-frying, electronic engineering-loving audience member, you are undoubtedly aware that Facebook has been working on FAIR, the Facebook Artificial Intelligence Researchers, for a while now. It's been their goal to seek to understand and develop systems with human-level intelligence by advancing the longer-term academic problems surrounding AI. Well, recently, the developers at FAIR introduced a new ability to their AI bots, or dialogue agents, as they refer to them, the ability to negotiate. Uh-oh. And as good as that might sound, these new dialogue agents started going rogue, and FAIR put a quick stop to their vernacular shenanigans. You see, it started out simply. Just two AI agents named Bob and Alice chatting each other up in English. And then FAIR researchers discovered no, these two weren't actually speaking English as they had been programmed. They had actually created their own language. Oh no. So this is how it went down. So Agent Bob started off mundanely enough by saying to Agent Alice, "I can I everything else." And to which Alice promptly responded, "Balls have zero to me, to me, to me, to me." And the rest of their conversation was actually formed from variations of these two sentences. At first glance, these double words like I, everything else, and to me, to me, to me, may seem like gibberish. But the repetition of these phrases was, according to FAIR, the creation of code words, like shorthand for us non-AI folks. For instance, if Bob said the word the 5 times, FAIR researchers believe that the bot meant 5 copies of this item. And get this, this shorthand AI phenomenon has not been limited to FAIR. Oh no, it's been observed many, many different times in several different AI studies. Even further, at OpenAI, the artificial intelligence research project founded by Elon Musk, they even created an experiment with the goal of allowing their AI bots to learn their own language. And guess what? It was successful. Yeah. So, over at FAIR, this AI language wasn't so lucky. It was quickly shut down. So, as you can imagine, there are a slew of different issues at play here. One of FAIR's main AI missions is to have AI interface with humans. And if we humans don't speak AI language, how will we know if they're creating Skynet? Or speaking in code to avoid cleaning up their rooms. Also, FAIR contends that since we don't really understand how complex AIs think yet, because we can't really see into their thought process, adding another level of language complexity into that already complex situation, makes everything just that much harder. Folks, this is just really the tiny tip of the AI iceberg, and I could talk about it all day. But my editor-in-chief has already told me that he doesn't want a 24-hour podcast. So if you want even more information about FAIR, their forbidden AI language, or even more, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Oh, but we have not finished our AI content for this week. Oh, quite the opposite, my friends. How about a little more AI for today, not tomorrow, not the day after that, or whenever Elon, Zuckerberg, or Microsoft gets their AI stuff straightened out. How about a little AI for our everyday lives, our everyday electronic engineering lives? Let me bring in Kevin Yap from Avnet. He's here to introduce us to Ask Avnet, the world's first AI to human digital platform. Yeah, check it out. Hi, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, so I understand that Avnet recently launched a new tool called Ask Avnet. Can you give me a quick rundown on what this Ask Avnet is all about?
Sure. Avnet's got a number of different websites, more now that we've acquired Premier Farnell. In talking to customers, both informally and in proper customer research, it was very clear that whilst they got a favorite site within our ecosystem, they wanted a way to find information from all of our other sites. So we put our heads together and ended up coming up with this new tool called Ask Avnet. And what it does, it's kind of a digital assistant that helps customers move around all of our different websites. It's a little pop-up window, and you can ask it anything, really. And it will actually redirect your browser to the information that you need on whichever of our sites it's on. So if you're a great Hackster.io user, most of what you need's on Hackster, you can pull up Ask Avnet when you suddenly realize that actually I need something else that Hackster doesn't cover, and it'll take you across to Avnet or to Premier Farnell or whichever one. And I think the interesting thing has been it's developed as an artificial intelligence tool. So it actually learns. So it learns from how people use it. It learns from the language that's behind it. But it's not absolutely perfect. So we've got a whole team of people behind it. And whenever real people need to step in to help customers or visitors, whether they need technical advice or just advice on how to use it, then we've got people there as well. So we're pretty excited about it, to be honest.
Excellent. So how has Ask Avnet been received so far?
Really well. I think artificial intelligence type tools are so new and so at the front of everybody's mind right now that everybody's been very excited to see how it could be applied to an electronics business. We first went public with it at a maker fair in San Mateo a couple of months ago, very small audience, and let them play around with it. And now we're in closed beta, which is a mixture of some internal Avnet folk, but also an invited in audience of customer testers. And everybody loves trying to break it. Everybody loves trying to make it not be able to answer their question or find the information they need. So it's great. People our customers and visitors are all part of the same team teaching our new member of staff, Ask Avnet, how to talk electronics.
So Kevin, I haven't really heard of anything like this before. So is this an industry first for the electronic engineering industry?
Yes, it is, and we're pretty confident it's a first all up. We've never seen anybody use this mixture of artificial intelligence and real people combined with moving people around completely different websites to the extent that we have a patent application in for it. So I think this is quite cutting edge. It's certainly a first for the electronics industry, but as I say, we're pretty confident nobody's done this. Nobody's done this because it is actually moving the customer between different websites. It allows us to really be responsive to customers. I think the worst thing would have been for us to have all of our sites and scrunch them into one big boring corporate site that pleases nobody. So this allows us to keep all of the personality and all of the quirks of the sites that customers love, but help them find information from all of the rest of them.
So I would imagine that it's really important for makers and engineers to be part of this beta. So how can we all get involved?
It is absolutely vital. Most of the artificial intelligence tools that are in the market are very, very good at talking insurance speak or customer service speak because they're used in the B2C world. But we need Ask Avnet to be able to talk electronics in the language that our customers use. So we need as many beta testers as possible to sign up and come and play and try and break the tool. So there's a landing page where people can sign up to become part of the closed beta, and the URL for that landing page will be posted as part of this podcast.
Brilliant. Okay, Kevin, what can we expect to see from Ask Avnet in the future?
Great question. So we're doing sprints every 2-3 weeks to develop new functionality and new features into Ask Avnet. I'd say two things in response to the question. The first is anybody that's part of the beta test will get to input to what those features are. So we want this to be as responsive as possible to what customers are really wanting to get from the tool. The second piece is we're really keen that Ask Avnet gives visitors access to the really talented teams of people that Avnet has behind the scenes. So whilst we'll be launching Ask Avnet with various different individuals and different skill sets that people can get to, in the future, we'll also be starting to use Ask Avnet to give our customers and visitors access virtually to real-life field application engineers that can give quite deep design advice. So I think it's a mixture of little developments that are in response to exactly what our customers want to see and ultimately using the tool to get to our field application engineers.
Very cool. All right, Kevin, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you love hiking, but before you were hiking in the rain, and now you're hiking in the desert. So tell me more about your love of hiking.
Yes, as you can probably tell from my accent, I'm not a native Arizonan. So I've hiked forever, but I moved out from Yorkshire to Phoenix 2 years ago. And it's come as rather a culture shock to move from hiking where I need to dress from head to toe in waterproofs to having to get out early before the temperature hits 110 degrees. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a crazy move.
Sounds like it. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Kevin.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
So maybe you aren't creating a brand new AI bot that will take over the world, but maybe you still need some help with your next GUI. Some of us, no, I am not going to mention who, you know who you are still working with a GUI from the 1990s. But you see, it doesn't have to be that way. Developing a clean, attractive, modern user interface can be easy if you have the right tools. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled GUI Made Easy, Modernize Your Embedded Application in Minutes, I sit down with Brendan Slade of NXP, and we chat all about how you can modernize your next embedded application GUI in minutes. Yes, really. You can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal. You can also click the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on EE Journal, or you can head on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 4th, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.